Good day and welcome to this special podcast of If Walls Could Talk. I'm John Wyatt, editor of Walls and Ceilings. Joining me today is our friend Tom Harris of Tom Harris PUR Consulting. Tom and I speak regularly about all things spray foam and what's happening in the insulation world. Hey, Tom, how are you, man?
Doing well today. You know, happy June to you, John.
And we're so excited that it finally came every year this time. It just seems to just come fast and furious. And it's good to be beyond winter, right?
Absolutely right. Yeah, the construction industry is booming. We're back on track, putting a lot of insulation in. Hopefully it heats up and people get uncomfortable. They need more insulation.
They surely do. And let's talk about that because today's theme is spray foam success, a team approach. A team approach, that alludes to something interesting. Good title to this podcast. Can you explain what that means, Tom?
Well, thanks, John. And let me start by saying the end of our last podcast, we agreed to dive into, you know, different aspects of selling foam and sales tactics and that sort of thing. And I think that'll probably carry on for two or three of our podcasts together. But I'd like to kick it off by reminding contractors that their success is a team effort, you know, outside their companies, not from within.
So what do you mean by that?
Well, I've been around contractors and installers, you know, for over 45 years, and most of them feel like they've got to do it alone. They're on their own. They've got no real help. And, you know, there's a few maybe customer-facing people that help close work and that sort of thing. You know, maybe marketing people, little lead generation stuff going on, social media experts. But these individuals, they're internal. I've seen how working with outside groups can really influence your success.
Cool, Tom. Do tell. Who are these magical teams?
Well, I think the first is local code officials. You know, build a relationship with your local code officials. They absolutely impact your work.
Tom, don't most contractors see code officials as well? Their mortal enemy.
Well, yeah, perhaps. And perhaps those contractors are the ones that should. Now, if you work in new construction sector, there's, you know, it's pretty straightforward. A set of approved plans from the GC, you install according to the plan, and the inspector confirms that the install meets or exceeds the plan and local code. That's pretty straightforward. But a lot of our work is retrofit and may not have a permit pulled and therefore no inspection. This leaves the insulation decision in the hands of the contractor. And these days, you know, they can get pretty creative when they're faced with competition.
Well, here's a shameless plug then. Isn't that where you come in?
Yeah, I suppose, John, and thank you for the shameless plug. But yeah, having a third-party consultant can help. But I think if the contractor considered the needs of the homeowner and kept the intent of the building code in mind, for starters, they probably wouldn't need a consultant, but they'd install a code-compliant product in a code-compliant manner to the code-required R-value.
If it's not under a building permit and the work won't be inspected, what's the risk of not meeting or exceeding those code requirements, Tom?
Yeah, that's a good question, John. You know, and it's all about competition. And, you know, you have to make the decision, my company and me as a contractor, an installer, what am I going to do when I'm faced with competition? And the installation, you know, in those some circumstances may not meet the owner's expectation, but there's a bigger problem. Like condensation, odor, mold, even rotted structural components like roof sheathing. And the owner will have the building inspected once there's a problem. And by someone trying to, you know, figure out what went wrong and who's to blame, more importantly. And that liability falls on the contractor who installed the insulation.
So how does working the local code inspector help?
Well, if you stick to the code or take advantage of some of the allowances within the code, it favors spray foam. Do good work and help the inspectors understand why your approach is code compliant, and anything else creates more risk for the homeowner than your company and you are seen as someone who they can trust, not someone who they have to watch over. It's all about your reputation. Remember, a homeowner is a home seller. And to sell a home, you need an inspection by a certified home inspector. And they look at insulation. If it's not up to code, it either gets fixed or it gets noted on the report and becomes a deduction for the listing price. And that creates a lot of tension.
Okay, that's code inspectors. Who else is on the team there, Tom?
Well, I think HVAC contractors, without a doubt.
Yeah, how so? Okay.
Well, in new construction, HVAC contractors, they're on board, from the very beginning. Hopefully, they understand the impact of a tight building envelope, spray foam, and the need for ventilation, circulation, right from the start. I think it's more critical and less utilized, actually, in attic, say, attic retrofit applications.
If we're just adding insulation, how does that affect the HVAC system?
Now, I know you know the answer to that, John, but with spray foam and the unvented attic assemblies, we're doing much more than adding a few inches of fluff on the floor. That's why spray foam usually costs a little more, because you get more. We tighten the building envelope, we lower the air change rates, how the building envelope breathes, we add insulation. Which means you don't need to run the HVAC unit as often, and that saves the homeowner money.
And these are all good things, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But when you change one thing, you impact other things. It's the old house is a system concept. If we tighten the building envelope, the HVAC system won't run as much. If we add insulation, the HVAC system won't run as much. If the HVAC system doesn't run as much, sure, we save money. But the old HVAC system wasn't designed to work in this new building envelope that you, as a contractor, just created.
So what do you suggest there?
Educate the homeowner about the impact of using spray foam. It'll lower their bills for sure, but also the impact on the indoor environment. Encourage the homeowner to have the HVAC contractor come in and run their manuals and schedules again with a new building envelope and insulation levels in mind, eh? Maybe the current system is now oversized. Maybe they need an ERV HRV, maybe a whole home dehumidifier. This generates work for the HVAC company. But the work you did as an insulation contractor isn't going to cause other problems because now the HVAC system isn't oversized. It's running enough. It's been resized. The HVAC contractor is now working with the insulation contractor. So don't ignore the potential of working with them.
So, what do you su suggest the contractors do there?
Well, I've seen great suggestions. Success in creating educational webinars, and post them on your own contractor site. 2 or 3 hours long, maybe. Maybe a hotel live kind of thing. Invite local code inspectors and HVAC people in. It's all about education. An open house at you as a contractor, at your location. Maybe spray a little foam. There's always oohs and ahs when people see foam being sprayed, liquid to a solid in 3 seconds, and it's rigid, and holy cow, that's kind of magic stuff. You can take all those educational things, put them online on your website, and then you drive HVAC contractors and all that to your website. So short YouTube videos work as well. And these aren't difficult to produce, and they can be a lot of fun.
They certainly are. I love the abundance that's out there. So, Tom, let's get back to that shameless plug for those listeners that want to get in touch with Tom Harris. You can visit letstalkpur.com. Again, that's letstalkpor.com. Tom, what a great way to kick off this series on tactics and strategies to help you win more work. Is that what we're going to discuss next time?
Yeah, exactly. We're going to continue, maybe two or three podcasts, John, and let's it's getting tight out there. We've got some economic influences in our industry, and before we get too creative, we need to understand exactly the impact of how to generate sales, win more work.
Well, that's something to chew on and for us to sit on our hands until we record that next one in just a few weeks. You've been listening to Tom Harris of Tom Harris PUR Consulting. I'm John White of Walls and Ceilings. Thanks for listening to this episode of If Walls Could Talk. Thanks again, Tom.